It's a song from a game that I remember the song very, very, very well. Cannot remember the game at all. Now I'm going to try to hum, I guess, or just bleep and bloop my way through the song right now. Fair warning, I am tone deaf as hell. So it will probably come across like you'd be like, was there even a pitch change there? What's, I don't understand. So just fair warning, okay? The song went as such. Bum ba da bum bum ba da ba da ba da. Bum ba da bum bum ba da ba da ba da. Ba 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 bum ba 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 bum. Bum ba da bum bum ba da ba da ba da.
I recognize anybody, that.
Anybody,
I couldn't tell you what it was.
Oh, jeez.
I feel like I'm
letting me down.
I feel like I'm. It's a game song.
I think I have to assume so because I don't remember anything else about it, but I remember that looping over and over and over again, and I can't remember what other context would loop so much from my childhood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But maybe it's not a game. Maybe it's a cartoon intro or something. But
sounds so familiar. I feel like if it sounded kind of familiar, but I was also kind of getting stuck on the Sanford and Son theme.
Welcome to the Flyover Indies podcast, where Kansas City area game developers talk about what we're playing or what we're listening to and what we're making and what we're learning. And just by listening, you are part of the game development process. I'm Caleb J. Ross, a member of Flyover Indies and a game developer. Joining me today are three people this time. Usually there's just two, sometimes one. Three people this time. It's chaos, I hope anyway. First, Charlotte Tribble, co-founder of Flyover Indies and game developer. How are you, Charlotte?
I am doing well.
Awesome. Second best, Nash High, member of Flyover Indies, musician and game. At least you're not third best. Sorry, Gage.
Wow.
At least you're not third best.
Oh, gosh.
How are you, Nash?
I'm doing pretty well. Yeah.
That's good. Pretty well is exactly what the number two should feel. I'll stop. I'm just being a total turd. And the absolute best of the bunch, Gage Bradley, member of Flyover Indies, musician and game developer. How are you, Gage?
Good save. I'm doing great. Thank you. I'm very excited to be here today.
Me too. We're doing something, I was going to say a little bit different, but I guess every episode is a little bit different by definition of the term little bit. Otherwise, it would be the exact same episode. So it is a little bit different in that we're going to be talking about music specifically. We have touched on music in past episodes, but we're going to be talking about music specifically. And instead of talking about what we've been playing, we're going to be talking about what we've been listening to, whether that is game music or not game music. Just what have we been listening to? What have we been enjoying? That's what we're going to start off with. And then we're just going to dive right into talking about our main topic, which is just what makes great game music. We'll talk about like the what is game music? How do you define it? Because it's probably a little harder than at least myself would. I'm definitely going to be playing the ignorant person here. I'm tone deaf as hell. I don't I like music. I appreciate music. I can't play music at all. So I'm excited to learn quite a bit from all these wonderful participants here. And then we're even going to listen to some music at the end. Listen to some music from our very own Flyover Indies community. That's the word I'm looking for. I don't know why that was so hard for me to come up with, but it was. So let's start off. Let's talk about what we've been listening to. And I think I want to start with Gage. I want to really tap into and make sure I don't just beat the excitement out of you with all of my with all of my ridiculousness. So I want to make sure you're able to lead with some as being as exciting as possible. So Gage, tell us what you've been listening to.
Yeah. Oh man, I've got some good stuff. And so if you have played Celeste, if you have played Minecraft, this is some music by Lena Rain. She's the composer for both of those games. And this is a game that came out, I think, a year ago or a couple years ago. It's fairly new. It's called Chicory, A Colorful Tale. And it's kind of like a coloring book, top-down RPG sort of. I haven't played it. It looks really cute, but the music is amazing. It's she's got a soundtrack of like 60 songs. All of them are very different, very good. But yeah, she's got a very strong aptitude for like storytelling through her music. Just the lines, her melodies are very expressive. She's good at creating like very notable. I'm trying to think of like you know, like a theme, I guess, for the main character. A motif is what I guess the word I was looking for. And she's, you know, brings it back and the whole soundtrack. But it's really cute. It's got a lot of cutesy woodwinds. There's some recorder. There's some oboe. I think there's some dulcimer in there, some other strings. It's a very, like orchestral, but kind of like penny flute sounding. Little, you know, like an orchestra of children. But you know, if they could play very well, sort of thing. It's really great, and I encourage everyone to check it out. Check her out in general. She's an incredible composer. I would say up and coming, but I think she's already one of the greats in my mind. Really, really good stuff. Very cute. Yeah, you should check it out.
I had no idea that she did Chicory, because I knew her from Celeste, and then I know in Minecraft, didn't she do like a season of songs or something like that. It was fairly recent-ish, right? Like around Halloween last year?
I think so. They started coming out with like the Caves and Cliffs updates and stuff, because I think she didn't always... Yeah, she originally wasn't the composer for Minecraft, but I think they brought her on board fairly recently. I don't know exactly when, but yeah. Within the last few years, I think she started doing music for that.
The Celeste soundtrack is one of the best. Oh my gosh, it's so good.
Yeah,
it's excellent. Incredible. And the way, I haven't played Chicory yet either. This definitely puts it higher up on my wish list. It's been on my wish list for a while, just because I love her music so much. And the way you describe the music and the screenshots I've seen of Chicory, I mean, it makes absolute sense. I mean, it's sort of an exterior environment kind of exploration thing, and when you hear like woodwinds and things like that, like you just kind of get a sense of calm but still expanse at the same time, which that game, from again the screenshots, that's what it feels like. You got a coloring book game by its own very nature would mean infinite possibilities essentially, and so you have a lot of like open wind sounds that sort of just let those possibilities live is really cool. That's awesome. I had no idea she did that soundtrack. That's so cool.
It's pretty neat. And it's definitely a departure from her normal kind of synthy sounds. But same moods, different texture. It's really interesting.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Let's move on to you, Nash. What have you been listening to?
I have been listening to Hadestown, which was originally a concept album, but it's also a musical. And like... I think the concept album was like back in 2010, and then they did some off-Broadway productions, and then more recently it's gone on to Broadway. But yeah, so I checked out, I like to compare different versions of the same stuff, so I've been listening to the concept album and also the original cast recording of it, which is pretty cool. It's musical rendition of the Greek myth of Orpheus and Eurydice. But yeah, it kind of uses a lot of like kind of like jazz and blues style, I guess. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've not heard of that.
You should check it out. The original concept album has like a bunch of different like indie musicians. It has like Justin Vernon from, I mean, he's not really indie anymore, but from Bon Iver. And then a couple other people. It was written by Anais Mitchell, who I'm only familiar with from Hadestown, and she sings the Eurydice part in the concept album, but then in the musical ones she's replaced by like different actresses.
Dumb question. I hear the term concept album all the time, and I don't think I fully understand what it is, because I always think of it in terms of like concept art, which is like here's the thing that is supposed to set the mood for the team. what is, like, from a music perspective, like, when people say concept album, what does that mean?
Yeah, so it's like, it's kind of a broad term. So it can kind of vary. But usually it's like the entire album is like set around a certain theme or idea or like concept. So it's like, and it's very much meant to be like consumed as the whole album. It's whereas like another, like a regular album might be kind of just like a collection of songs that the musician has been working on at a particular time. A concept album is more like, we're making this album and things are going to fit together. A lot of times they will like, when they master it and all, they will like arrange it in a way that the tracks bleed seamlessly in from one to the other. And actually they, like the Hadestown one, they call it a concept album, but I think I would even go further and call it like a rock opera where like, you know, cause it has a narrative too. So I don't know. I mean, I guess it's up to the artist what they think it is, but I kind of consider the original Hadestown album to be like a rock opera.
Let's go to Charlotte. What have you been listening to?
Yeah, I mean, so this is something that I listen to all the time. It's just like kind of a constantly on repeat sort of deal for me. But it's the Paradise Killer soundtrack. The game itself is also just absolutely wonderful. And I forget if I've talked about it on this before or not, but the soundtrack, it's got a lot of synths. I'm a major sucker for anything with a synth. So that already had me grabbed, but, super funky, and it fits the game incredibly well, and it just has these like tracks that just gets stuck in my head like over and over again, and yeah, it's just something that I can put on and listen to kind of at any time and just kind of get into this like funky synthy state, and I love it. It's so much fun. Yeah, like Caleb, I'm also not like a musician, so I don't have the right words to describe how much I love this album and why, but highly recommend checking it out, as well as the game, because, yeah, it is truly one of my all-time favorites.
Like, oh, man, that's awesome. I had a chance to check out one of those pieces. I didn't get to listen to everyone's picks, but I did look at one of the Paradise Killer songs, yeah. And it was really good. Do they have... The one I listened to
so
had...
Catchy.
Oh, yeah. The one I listened to had vocals too.
Might have been the first track on the album, maybe. Mm-hmm. I think in the game that's played during the end credits, perhaps, because most of them don't have vocals. Okay. Or if there are vocals, they're like background instrument type mouth is music vocal shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's. It's fun. And in the game too, like it ties in really well because you start with, I think, just like one track. It's almost playing like on a radio, if you will. And then as you explore, you find new tracks. And so as you play the game, like the music kind of expands and as you progress, which is also pretty fun. And I remember always being just super duper excited to find a new one. It's like, ooh, okay, yes, we've unlocked another one. I cannot wait to hear this one too. So, and my husband and I played that game together and we really took our time with it and did not get burned out at all on this music. And like I said, I still listen to it regularly. Like, it's fantastic.
That's awesome. I think that's really interesting. Music is a more interactive component of a game because usually, mm-hmm. I mean, whether or not it's always there, you never really think about using music as like a component for someone to unlock or like to find, which makes it maybe that much more special, and especially in a game like that where that's kind of like an investigatory, wow, you know what I'm trying to say? That's like a murder game, right? Like a murder mystery.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you got stuff to solve, you have to find evidence, and along the way you might find, I think they're, like, cassettes, I think? I forget. But, yeah, you find them kind of scattered around, and, yeah, I was always keeping my eyes out to unlock a new track.
Yeah, I was way off on what I've seen the visuals of the game, the neon colors and all that kind of stuff before, so that was in my head, and for some reason I was thinking this is a game like a Hotline Miami, And it does not look that way at all.
No, it's not. No, it does have a lot of the same kinds of, like, color palettes. And there's plenty of blood in this game, I can tell you that. But Hotline Miami will have more blood.
Yeah. And yeah, I just...
This one's more, like, vaporwave, I would say. Like, very aesthetic.
That's very cool. That's great. I might have to pick it up because I'm a physical games guy. I like I like just having physical games. And apparently, the publisher One Print Games are printing 3,000 copies of this game.
Ooh, I would love to pick up a physical version.
Yeah, for the Switch.
Well.
So, yeah. $35.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's one of my favorite games and one of my favorite game soundtracks. Just, I adore it.
That's really cool. So as for me, and actually, Gage, you mentioned something that I want to make sure I come back to when we get to the main topic. You mentioned, you know, music as part of the, I'm putting words in your mouth, but music is like part of the gameplay experience as part of, like, I think it was the term, like, unlocking stuff, or you unlock, you know, using music in that kind of way. And I have a thought about that that I'll get to when we get to the main topic. So I'll have to remember to do that. So anyway, what I'm listening to, Horizon Forbidden West. I'm listening to not only the music, but I'm also listening to Ashley Birch tell me about her stash over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Aloy is like the new Preston Garvey. And so basically she talks a lot in this game, but they actually had to patch it out with the latest patch because it was annoying people so much. It really is incredibly annoying, which I never thought I would say that about Ashley Birch's voice being something I don't want to listen to. But that's, anyway, the point being, listening to a lot of that game. But I like, in terms from a music perspective, it's the kind of score that, like, it's definitely more of a score thing than a soundtrack. There's not, like, defined tracks or anything like that. So it's a nice score that I'm listening to. And the reason why I bring it up as something that is even worth talking about is because I think it does something that I feel like a lot of really great game music does. And that's that it makes itself known when it needs to be. It knows when to sort of pull itself back and let other things shine, and it knows how to be part of a game's basic input output kind of feedback system. And in this particular case, the game has great like encounter buildup music, right? Like when you're getting close to an enemy, the score knows how to sort of clue you into the fact that you're getting close to an enemy, even if you can't see them, they're there. And it just sort of bleeds in. It also has a really good sort of, I used the word stinger earlier, and I don't even know if I used that word correctly, but I'll say it here, like, where there's sort of a nice punch of music that happens when all of the enemies in a certain encounter are dead. So it's like, it tells you as a player, like, you're safe. You can rest now. You can rest easy. And that's something that I think music is really, I love that smart people have tapped into that being something that music can do, right? Because I think in lesser hands, they would say, like, oh, we got to have an enemy count in the corner, and when that reaches zero, you know, you've done it. Or we have to maybe have the screen change a color, or have, you know, Aloy turn to the camera and give a peace sign and be like, yeah, we did it, or something. You know, there has to be something there, but, like, some smart designers out there, and this isn't the first game that's done it by any means, but smart designers out there are like, no, like, this is a perfect opportunity to let music do that. And I just love that. It's so impressive to me. And it is just really cool music to listen to. It's just, I don't know. It's interesting. Dying Light is another example of a game that does that really well, where the music is extremely unique to that. Like, if you hear the music, you're like, that's the game that's from, you know, it's from that game, as long as you've heard that music before. But Dying Light has a very unique sound to its score, and it does the same thing very, very, very well. It comes, the encounters build up. When you've ended an encounter, there's a specific noise. Fallout, I mentioned Fallout earlier. Fallout 4 does that exact same thing. There's a very specific sort of stinger that at the end of battle scenes that I just love. So that's what I've been listening to because that's what I've been playing. Let's move on to our main topic, shall we? What makes great game music? And before I turn it over to everyone, because I am going to probably sit a lot of this section out, you're welcome, listeners, because I don't know a lot, but I do want to start with at least sort of clearly delineating exactly maybe what we're talking about. And if either of you disagree, any of you disagree on, like, this delineation, please let me know, because we can expand the topic and maintain talking about sound effects if you want. But I kind of want to feel like, you know, where's that delineation between music and sound effects? And is that a delineation worth making? So that's just an open-ended question that maybe I want to toss out. How do you delineate between music and sound effects when it comes to, I don't know, game music, game sound?
Well, yeah, I don't, like you said, I think they're like one shots or stingers, as you called them, that have definitely have a place. And when you say that, I imagine that they're like music quips, right? Like pitched instruments, a little like ditty or something at the end of yeah. that enemy encounter.
Like if you think of like a drum roll is like finishing off like a jazz thing, or it's that kind of feel.
Yeah.
Like it's just,
it's the end. Yeah. I think it's music is, you know, being in art form, it is very subjective. So I think there are, you could go either way. But yeah, when I think of sound effects, I think of, I guess a little bit more inorganic, functional, in a functional sort of way. Whereas music, I think of what you're trying to use to evoke emotion or add to the scene. But I think both are interchangeable. Music can be used as sound effects and vice versa. If you've ever heard of John Cage, he was like an avant-garde percussionist in, you know, in the mid 20th century, who's known for playing things like cacti and rubber ducks in bathtubs and, you know, all sorts of wacky stuff, very controversial at the time. But, you know, a lot of people consider that music, including myself. And so I think it's, yeah, it's really interesting that, you know, where people draw that line. I think it definitely differs between who you are and the context.
Yeah, I've been playing this new game. I think it's Aliens Fire Team. I think it's what it is. But they do something kind of like that, where they have musical cues, kind of like punctuating it, if you will. Where anytime you kill an alien, you get this like very intense like musical note that happens that just really ratchets up the tension within the game. But it's very clearly an instrument, but it's tied to this action that you've just successfully performed in the game, and it works really, really well. It's quite effective.
Yeah.
Just kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah, it's neat. Like when I feel like when a good designer ties in sound effects like that, which are musical, it almost sounds like you're listening to a live score, and like, you know, you're the conductor, and you know, you cue the tuba to play some like low blast. No, I don't know. I feel like that makes the experience really seamless in a lot of.
Yeah. That kind of stuff too can help with like, I mean, I feel like one of the challenges with writing game music is you don't necessarily know when things are going to happen. So like you might be playing boss fight music and you've got it set up to loop because the boss fight could go 2 minutes or it could go 5 minutes. So you don't know when that boss is going to go down, but you want to be able to punctuate that. So if you have some kind of like a big orchestra hit kind of thing that plays when the boss goes down, you can just like run your music right into that, and then and it kind of like runs that transition for you, because you're not going to be able to immediately necessarily jump to a part in your composition where you're ready to like go out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the dynamic, like sliding between, like musical cues,
kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. The what was it? Secret of Monkey Island, I think, did that really, really well. And they didn't have like the same intensity as like a boss fight, but you could move from one like location or scene to another, you know, at will. And what they did very cleverly was they synced up those musical transitions so that it did feel seamless regardless of when you were doing that or where you were going to. Everything kind of like kept the same sort of like beat and tone, and certain elements of it faded out and faded in over each other in such a way that it's like, oh, that was a very smooth transition, and immediately you're noticing it, but in a positive way, not in like a jarring kind of way. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really neat. If And if I can expand on that, I think this is a good transition into some of our notes here. One of them, Caleb, I noticed, do you want to talk about that Austin Wintory quote? Was that yours?
Yeah, that was mine. So yeah, this is in our section of kind of what makes game music game music. And Austin Wintory is a name that even people who don't know game music know. He's composed a lot of games. His probably still most famous would be like the Journey sound, Journey score, I think. Although he's done so much more, but he's on a podcast called Play Watch Listen. And I listen to the podcast mostly for him and Mike Bithell. I mean, they're just wells of knowledge that are just, they're so great. And Austin Wintory has an amazing way to sort of communicate about music to people like me who don't know music at all. And one of the things he said in an episode that really kind of struck with me was that music for games isn't often written with beginnings or ends in mind. It just has to be dynamic according to the player behavior. And he even went so far as to say, when when you purchase a game music score, for example, like on CD or whatever, like that's artificial in the sense that they write often, he does anyway, writes the beginnings and ends only when that happens. Like there's not real, like until there's a package of songs to sell, he doesn't think in terms of beginnings and ends with the music because they don't need to be, that's not how the games that he writes for really work. And I, that just kind of really just blew my mind. I just never even considered that as, a need. So yeah, that was just blew my mind.
Yeah. That's interesting. That never would have occurred to me, but that's pretty smart. Yeah.
If you've played Hades or heard of Hades, the composer for that game, Darren Korb, another really good composer, he does something just like that. Like you were talking about, Charlotte, he wrote like several tracks in the same key, same everything, and he basically spliced the layers into separate tracks, right? So we've got like, he's got like a rhythmic vamp that's constantly going on as you're dungeon crawling, and when you jump into a room with enemies, he layers on like some of the guitar, some of the drums, whatnot, and it gets more, you know, it'll ramp up for boss battles and ramp down after you kill the last enemy. And it just, yeah, like it's always seamlessly flowing. It's, the track never really ends. So that, yeah, it's very dynamic in that way. It's kind of interesting how they pull that off.
Yeah. I love the music for Hades.
Oh yeah.
That's interesting to me. In that rather than sort of introduce new pieces of music to fit the action on the screen, it's just appending the existing piece of music in a way that everything can sort of still fit. Like, speaking from my own, again, ignorant perspective, like one of the things that's always confused me about that sort of dynamic musicality in games is that, I feel like, again, this is probably not accurate, but I feel like when you're writing music, like there's, time is incredibly important, right? There's got to, things have got to like sort of stay on beat or whatever. Not knowing when a player is going to initiate or do certain actions or whatever means that you can't really depend upon consistent beats. So you have to find a way for any music you add to sort of not necessarily need to be in that same, pattern, I guess. I don't know. Like, but with writing out, like with just adding elements to the song rather than like new songs entirely is really interesting idea. And it can also, I think, help, from a player's perspective, like it's not subtle, but it's not, it doesn't demand your attention, right? It just sort of fits naturally. Dying Light 2, I haven't played it, but just watching clips and stuff about it, they have this interesting thing where when you like sort of launch yourself up into the air, the music sort of drops all of the bass and really puts and really focuses on like the highs. So that like literally you're high in the sky and the music becomes high and there's no bass to it. And so it gives it this feeling of like groundlessness. Cool. And it's really cool how they do that. And that's just a simple well, I say simple, but I mean, that's a simple matter of you already have the track. You're just removing parts of it to suit your needs, and you're mm-hmm. not necessarily adding new tracks, which is interesting to me.
Yeah, that's really neat. What an interesting idea to drop like the bass and make something all treble or
yeah.
something.
I've been playing a lot of Risk of Rain 2 lately, and they do something similar. Like the way Risk of Rain works is like you go into each level and you have to find the teleporter first, and then you like activate it, and it has to charge up for. You have to kill a boss, and then it has to charge up basically. But there's like a zone around the teleporter that you have to be in to charge it. And if you go outside of that zone, it's kind of similar to that. They do an effect on the soundtrack music to where it's like they've kind of trimmed out the bass and it sounds like it's playing on a distant radio, basically. So it's like it gives you this impression like, oh, I'm not there. You know, I'm not in it right now. I need to go back in.
That's neat. Yeah. I like that.
That is cool. I feel like that's also another good example of games that do that kind of thing. Any game, modern game, third-person game especially, that takes place partly underwater and part above, there's always the part where like the music is playing, but you go underwater and everything deafens. And it just feels natural yeah. because as a human being, like that's what it sounds like underwater. But that is a change to the music score, not just something that... You do. It's not just something the game does. Like, they had to consciously say, okay, how can we make this music? How can we remove certain elements or tweak certain elements or change things to make it sound like you're underwater and muffled? And that's something that, yeah, I never really consider too much as part of game music, but that is what it is. They have to change the music to suit that, right?
Yeah, well, and it's kind of an interesting, like, in terms of like the development pipeline, because that kind of stuff is like, you know, those are effect plugins inside the game engine itself. So like the composer working on the music in their own audio system is not doing those effects. They have to work probably with the game programmers to be like, okay, we're going to set up this kind of EQ effect for this situation. And then because having those effect plugins in your game's audio system gives you like so much more flexibility, and it means like, so you don't have to like render off your soundtrack files like a thousand different ways to suit every situation.
It's like applying a filter over it, kind of.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, cool.
As opposed to writing.
Do you think that ever? Oh, go ahead, Gage. Sorry.
You're fine. I was going to say, as opposed to writing 100 versions of that track and just crossfading between the one.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
See, from my own dumb brain, I would have been like, yeah, I guess that's what you do, right?
Sounds like okay. A lot of work, yeah.
yeah, I guess maybe it is a lot of work, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you think that changes how the musicians themselves approach writing the music, knowing that, okay, part of this sound, part of this score may be underwater, do I need to actually change the raw recording in such a way so that those effects don't completely destroy the intent? Like, do you think that kind of conversation ever happens?
Yeah, I bet so. I haven't really been in that situation, but I mean, similarly, like, this is not music so much as like sound effects. A lot of times, like, reverb on sound effects is also in the game engine, and so like when you're making the sound effect, you might like have a reverb effect on just so you can hear it and be like, okay, this is what it's going to sound like. But you would probably want to take that out before you render it, because then you'll apply the reverb kind of dynamically inside the game.
You don't want to reverb your reverb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
That's how the ghosts win.
The ghosts.
That could be kind of cool. If you need a very unsettling experience.
Yeah. Oh man, that's cool. So where should we go now? I mean, we have some flyover indies songs that we want to spotlight, but I also want to give I want to give space for any additional things that maybe we want to talk about, just as it relates to game music, and I don't know, maybe some of like your guys' own experience with creating game music, and maybe some thoughts on that if you're willing and able.
Yeah, I actually have a thought on that. So something that we haven't talked about is like how to time music in games. And so like we've talked a little bit about like other engine tools, like being able to apply these plugins to have like reverb effects or what have you. But one of the other things, at least in Unity and I imagine in other engines, is there is a separate like time that you can track, and it syncs up to the audio in the game. And again, I'm not a musician, I'm probably not explaining this very well at all, but this was something that I learned about while working on Tracer with Nash, because we had to sync up the timing of our own musical voices, is what we call them, with other things that were happening in the game. And the only way to do that accurately in a way that didn't feel weird or get off beat was to use this very special like music time within the game. So instead of like a delta time or a time since like, you know, game start, which is a very commonly used thing, that this one is only for tracking the time of the music. And that's something that you would be able to use for things like rhythm games, or I imagine to handle like dynamically like transitioning between or layering on or off different musical tracks to get these effects. And so that way you can keep them all on beat together is kind of like the goal there. And it's something that I had no idea about until I ran into problems with things getting kind of like off a little bit, and it's like, oh, this sounds horrible, it feels bad, and trying to figure out like, okay, there have to be better ways of handling this. And it was something I just hadn't known about, which I thought was kind of neat. And I bet you this I'm sure is also used in other games like BPM, bullets per minute. So that's kind of a cool one, where if you're not familiar, it's a shooter where you can really only shoot on beat. And like, it kind of reminds me of this scene in, what's it called, Baby Driver, I think, where there's, like, a gunfight, and then there's this wonderful musical piece by Focus in the background, and, like, the gunfire syncs up to the beat of the music, and it all is very well punctuated together and intense. And so BPM is kind of, like, an entire game just based around that concept of, like, you're shooting on the beat, or, like, every other offbeat, or what have you. And the only way, like, in engine to sync all that stuff and make that kind of thing possible is going to be something like using this special, like, music time. I think in Unity it's called, like, DSP or DST, something like that. I would need to look it up, but...
That's really interesting, and it is something that you don't really think about until you decide to make a rhythm game, I guess, sometimes. Yeah. I know I've been messing around in Godot, and I'm pretty sure, I don't know Godot that well yet, but I don't know if Godot has any tool like that. I've been trying to mess with some music stuff, and I have had to sync it to Delta, which is just, in game engine language, that's like frames per second sort of thing, right? But yeah, I mean, it makes you think about how fast your music is. Like, I purposefully wrote something at 120 beats per minute, mm-hmm. so that it would be easier to sync up. You know, that's you have to do some math, which is not fun for anybody.
Math and music, neither of which are my strong suit.
Yeah, I don't think Godot does have like an audio time. They do have a page about syncing. They do have a page about syncing their audio on their like tutorial website, but I don't think it mentions any special time thing. I think it's more like, well, your audio driver is probably going to have a buffer, so it's going to be a few milliseconds this way, and I don't know.
Be prepared for some wiggliness.
Yeah.
I wonder if, does Godot expect, this is not a question I don't think anyone here can answer because you guys didn't develop Godot, but I wonder if Godot anticipates that the games made using Godot are going to be on machines that are not going to be susceptible to, you know, throttled frame rates and things like that. Like, because that to me seems like the concern, right? Like, if you're basing everything on frame rate, then you're sort of assuming every PC that plays a game is going to have specs that can meet that frame rate. If not, things get wonky. I mean, that's kind of, that's what I imagine the Unity thing is doing, is basically just developing a timing system that's independent of frame rate.
Yes. Yeah.
And if Godot, maybe they're like, yeah, we don't have that because we're not going to, you know, no one's building a AAA game using Godot, so it's not as big of a deal. That's a big assumption on my part. I don't know. But yeah, that's it. That's interesting that there just wouldn't be something there for that. Hmm. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. What next? What next? We have a few minutes. Well, more than a few minutes, but what else about music before we move into the spotlights?
Yeah, I have a...
Go ahead.
Oh, you're fine. I was just going to say, I have a couple more thoughts kind of on that, just logistics of writing music for games. Because we've talked about, you know, I don't know if we've kind of covered some specifics, but what really separates game music from normal music. And I think that's, it's like, it's the fact that you have to share the stage with so many other things at the same time. Sound effects, which you're also maybe creating if you're the principal sound designer on a project. Other audio cues, dialogue, spoken dialogue, visual cues that might be distracting you from, you know, focusing in on the music. It's just something you don't really think about. And I think that's where I heard something someone had written about that, stating that music in games is more about writing cues and not writing compositions. Like, you're not performing for somebody, but you're trying to enhance their experience or their performance, which was interesting to me. I hadn't thought about it that way. But you have to be a little... I would imagine to be a game composer, you have to be pretty empathetic of everyone else's process, and probably a little bit humble too. Just some interesting thoughts. What do you guys have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, totally. I haven't ever done a project where I am like doing the composing and I'm not doing the sound design too. So I haven't like had that experience of like also coordinating with the sound designer and being like, oh, okay, you're using a siren effect for this, so I should not put this siren synth in the soundtrack because it's gonna confuse the heck out of everybody, that kind of thing. But it would be really interesting, and even just like working on both myself, it can like be challenging. Like, I know for Tracer, I was trying to create a shields up sound, so like when you pick up the shield, you hear it and you know you've got the shield. And I was like, well, first of all, I want it to like, I was like, okay, I want it to be like a whoop kind of sound. And so like, I like, obviously it's like a pitch slide sort of thing, but I want it to like hit, you know, good notes that fit with whatever soundtrack. So I like had to look at the keys on all the different levels, and I was like, okay, what's going to be not a terrible note in all these? And also like, what is going to be like part of the sound spectrum that is not going to be too occupied by the music? Cause I didn't want it to, you know, there's like a lot of bass in that same frequency range and it makes it hard to hear the shield kind of thing.
Yeah, you don't want it to be overpowering, and at the same time, you don't want it to just kind of be easy to miss, like drowned out.
Yeah.
Yeah, difficult balance.
Yeah, I never thought about that, sending false positives to the player. You know, that's really interesting. That's true. And you know, the first time or the one time that what should be an intentionally innocuous sort of sound effect going on, or sound going on in the score, the first time that correlates with some sort of action on screen in a way that the player pairs those two together, that player is primed forever. They're never going to forget that. And now like the entire experience is going to be ruined. And you can't anticipate all of that, right? I guess the only way to do that is, if I'm understanding you correctly, Nash, is like, you got to make sure you're working with a sound designer to understand exactly what it is that they want out of the gameplay sounds versus like the score, and make sure you're not pooping in their sandbox, so to speak. So, you know, something like that old saying.
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, that's funny. Misleading players with musical cues after you've conditioned them.
Yeah. Exactly. That sounds like something Elden Ring might do. Yeah,
it kind of reminds me of if you're listening to music while driving and then for some horrible reason there's like a siren in the music and you're like, wait, yeah. No, is that? And I always, every single time, have that moment where I.
That's like, exactly like it. Yes, that's exactly
it. Oh my gosh,
it.
Yeah.
There's a Deftones song that has like a, out of nowhere, has like a police siren in the middle of it. And every time I'm like, what is going on? Like, cause it doesn't happen. Like, see, it doesn't seem, if it's more about like the story of the song rather than like a actual like part of the music. And it gets me every time.
Oh man.
Yeah, every time.
Another example that I remember in school, I played percussion and I remember learning that if you know the iPhone like standard ringtone, that dun da 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 da, that
marimba one,
and it's on the marimba, yeah, and we'd be in the back playing that really lightly, and the band teacher would be checking her pockets.
It's like there was a, like, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years where the Nokia ringtone was super popular. It was on every other phone, and it was featured in every other fucking movie and TV show. And you'd always see somebody, like, yeah, check in their pocket whenever that happens. Like, where's my, oh, no, something else. It's not real.
We had a brief, like, music unit in my high school physics class, and we played with Audacity, and our teacher told us the story about how a student in a previous year had figured out the note, the pitch of the school bell tone, and like created that and then played it through the computer, and everybody left.
Oh, that's my incredible. Goodness.
Love it.
Music.
That's awesome.
It's a dangerous tool.
My only related story has nothing to do with fooling a teacher with music necessarily, but there was a time when I had the Windows error sound. You know, back in my high school, it was sort of I think it was Windows, was like the duck quack. That might have actually been Mac. I can't remember. But like the mwah whenever something went wrong. And I changed that to be like a 20-second fart sound. And so then the teacher made an error, and she didn't know how to stop it. So every time like she made an error on her computer, it would just make this long 20-second fart sound. And I forgot totally about it, and it was like a week later that finally word got down to her that it was me who did it. And she approached me about it. She's like, did you do that? I'm like, oh yeah, I did do that. Yeah,
yeah, that was me.
And she's like,
oh, no.
She's like, it's been going on for a week, and I don't know how to fix it. And so then I finally fixed it for her. Luckily, she was a funny lady, so she was like, yeah, it's pretty good, Caleb, but can you fix it, please?
Can you not?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Gosh. Oh, love, man. That. So I actually did remember the thing that I was going to try to remember that Gage had mentioned earlier about music and sound being sort of integral to gameplay. And I was going to say, for people who are tone deaf like me, that can be super, super frustrating. The one I remember is I was playing The Witness, and there's a whole section of The Witness where it's like you have to remember the pitches of like bird chirps and phone ring or whatever. And after I couldn't even do the first puzzle, and I was like, yep, I'm just going to look up every single answer to this one because there's no way that's going to work for me. And I would imagine it's similar for people with like color blindness and that sort of stuff. Like it's a similar kind of thing where it's like, it's just not going to work for everyone, you know?
Yeah, I know the exact puzzle that you're thinking of, and I have the exact same issue with it. Yeah.
Yep.
I looked that one up too.
It's so weird for like people who don't, I don't think, understand, like, not, I'm not saying that none of you do, like, by any means, but like, when you hear like tone deafness, but it's like, how could someone who's like tone deaf still like appreciate music, right? Like it feels very like weird. And it's so weird because I can listen to like the bird that in that puzzle, I can listen to the changes and I can detect that there are changes. I'm like, they are different sounds, they're different pitches, they're different changes. But if you were to isolate one of them, be like, is this high or low? I'm like, I don't know. Like, and even if they're right next to each other, it's like, I think that's the high one or that's maybe like the low one. I don't know. And it's just not like, it just doesn't map to my brain in a way that makes it dependable. It's weird, but I still can love music. It's crazy.
I sometimes have issues with like auditory processing. So like, I think it might be kind of hand in hand with tone deafness where it's like, I couldn't I couldn't tell you. I can't tell the difference between these two things if they're like played one after the other. I couldn't tell you which one is higher or lower or a major key or a minor key or anything like that. And it's weird how sometimes those kinds of things will like crop up.
Yeah, yeah.
Just mm-hmm. Brains are strange.
Brains are certainly strange.
Yeah.
And brains can also be very, very impressive, specifically the brains from the Flyover Indies group who make music. And that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to listen to some Flyover Indies music. We have a bit of time left here in the episode. And if we get through this, then we'll also want to talk a little bit about some of our favorite game music. It's going to be great. So let's start off listening. We have four pieces here that we want to share with all of you. Four pieces, all from Flyover Indies. Every year, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong on one of you who knows this, but every year there's the Flyover Dailies sort of EP that gets created. That's full of just music that people have made throughout the year. And these all come from, no, I don't want to say, do they all come from 2021?
So,
is everyone?
Yeah, we've done one and I think it was April or something. And then we did another like smaller version in the fall. So we've done two so far in 1 year, and I don't know if we're going to do that, but we're going to hopefully just keep forward with the annual thing. But it's an every year.
And it's actually music daily. So it's not like stuff we've just been making throughout the year. It's like we have is it a week, Gage?
Yeah, I think we have a week. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and we like work on, the goal is to like work on music every day that week, and then the stuff we make that week is what we put in the album or the EP.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good point. I forgot to mention that. Thank you for specifying. Yeah, so these are tracks people have written in a week, just kind of, you know, as we're doing our, it's a compositional exercise, I guess you could say.
I'd say it's very similar to like a game jam.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, except it's a musical jam. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Well, thank you all for explaining that. I should have, in hindsight, just immediately tossed to you and had you guys lead in with it. I apologize for not doing that, but thank you for being here and helping out. So let's talk. I'm going to start with the top of the list, which happens to be me. It's a song by our very own Nash Eye right here. Yeah. All right. So let's take a listen and everybody make faces that really express the way you're thinking about it. So that Nash has to interpret how you feel about it. And if you could throw up false signals and false flags, that'd be great. I'm going all the way to 58. All the way. And there we go. All right.
Thank you. Thank you for including my long trail out.
It's all about, if it's in there, I assume it's intentional. Why did I pick that one? So I love a piece of music that immediately kind of puts you in a place, which in some ways I think reductive, but at the same time, it's probably just how my ignorant brain like appreciates music. And that's that when it comes to video game music specifically, like the first thing I think of is what's the environment that this is going to be played in? Not necessarily, you know, a lot of the nuances that maybe a musician would think about, but as a player, like what's the environment? And I love it when a piece of music, when I listen to it, I can immediately think, okay, I know exactly where this would go. I know exactly what the character would be doing. And so before I even say anything, what I would like to ask you, Nash, is like, did you have, and if so, what environment did you have envisioned for this piece of music?
Oh yeah, I did. you want me to answer first? Like, you don't want to tell your reaction?
No, I want you first because I don't want you to lie and say that I'm
okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I did have kind of an environment where, like, at least a mood or general theme in mind. I think that whole week of dailies, I was trying to do moss stuff. So for this one, for the atmospheric thing, I was definitely picturing sort of like a damp, mossy, kind of like maybe haunted or enchanted sort of environment, possibly like where you're very small, like walking amongst the moss, and the moss is, you know, almost like tall grass or like a forest even. But yeah, so that's kind of what I was imagining.
That's cool. What I was imagining actually overlays pretty well with that. Now, it might be that I was primed to think in terms of that because of the word moss in the title. it's very reasonable that maybe I was primed. But my head immediately went to some sort of dank sort of cave environment that had like also like element. And this could also be primed by me playing Horizon Forbidden West. Who knows? But like had some elements of like technology that like that you wouldn't expect to be there. And so this person's like exploring a cave and there's just these. And I think when you mentioned sort of magical wasn't the word you used, but you used a word that was like had some sort of, you know, power about the environment. And I think maybe that's a lateral move to sort of technology in some way. So something mysterious in this cave that you wouldn't expect to be there is definitely what I was thinking in terms of this. I definitely got a sense of like I could see this like being played like in Earthbound, where, you know, even among the opening, like when he first, like he's walking around in the night, and there's like a UFO kind of sighting or whatever. Like I kind of get that sense of like night cavey, like something's mysterious, something sparkly or shiny almost in the distance. And that's what I want to get to. And what I really like about the song too, is that it hits with a weightier bass than you would expect. Like it sets itself up to be a very serene, but introspective in a way. And then it hits with this bass and you're like, oh, there's something more at stake here. And like, that was really cool to me. So, it's exploring a cave. You find something that you're not a little strange, maybe technological, maybe magical, but there's also something about this magic that doesn't feel like it's friendly to humans almost is kind of what I got from it. That's what I got.
That's awesome. I feel like you got an even more detailed vision out of it than I did. So that's really like, that warms my heart to hear.
That's cool. That's cool. Well, I'm glad I could warm your heart. Cool. Well, let's jump into the next one. Let's jump into a song that Gage brings to us. Let me play this here.
Yeah, and if I may, all right. Yeah, introduce it really quickly. This is by Fraser. He's another member of our group. And yeah, maybe I'll let you hear it, and then I'll tell you what he gave me as far as his you know, his notes on it.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, that's a great one. I'm trying to think. I think the theme. Let me see. Let me pull up that really quickly so I can see what the theme for that was. But while I'm looking for that, yeah, if you can't tell, it definitely sounds like it's from the 80s, which I think is what Frazier was going for. He even has that 808 synthesized drum set in there. But yeah, from what he told me, this would be an investigatory sort of, you know, like buddy cop kind of game is what I get from it, at least myself. But yeah, it's called A Drive Through the Autumn Hills in 1985. Is that what that says? But yeah, I mean, even the sound effect getting in the car, zooming off through the hills. Yeah, it's very, you know, it evokes that for me, at least. And of course, yeah, Frazier's a drummer. If you can't tell, he's got that bopping percussion in there. And he happens to be able to write the shredding guitar solos too. But yeah, it's a pretty neat one. I like the amount of diversity we have already in our tracks. Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did Frazier do all, like, was Frazier doing all of the tracks on that daily session with that like 80s buddy cop thing in mind? Because like I almost picked the boss theme one that Frazier did. Yeah. That's like a fight, like the brawl at I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah,
but it's got like yeah, it's got like motorcycle sounds, and then it's like this real like high energy fighting music. It's really good too, but it's like that same, like it could totally be on the same like game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think he kind of did, now that I think about it, and he wrote one for like going to the mall, shopping at the mall. It's also very 80s. Yeah, the Golden Bar one, it's kind of like Escape from LA sort of thing. He's even got a shotgun cock sound effect in there
before. Oh, yeah. So,
that's great. So, yeah, you should check that one out. But I didn't think about that. You guys both kind of went with like a theme for the multiple days, which is fun. But yeah, so that's a good one. I mean, yeah, just to plug that really quickly, if you're listening, definitely go check out the Flyover Indies Bandcamp. You can listen to all of these on there. They're all very, very good, very different. Lots of mm-hmm. excellent local musicians and really fun teams on there.
Yep. And I'll definitely include a link to specifically this album and then also just the Bandcamp in general in the show notes for sure. All right. I think we're ready for you, Charlotte.
Yeah, so let's see. I picked out Moon Boots by Gage. And so Gage, I don't know if there's anything that like you want to say about it before we play it.
Sure. Yeah, I think this was for like space exploration was the theme of this one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a sucker for funky synth pop, like you said, so I tried to
tried
to put some synthy stuff in there. But yeah, it's a little more high energy. You probably wouldn't be it, if I imagined it in a game, probably not necessarily during a bit with a lot of input from the player, because it's very involved. I'm going against my own thoughts of backing off. It's pretty loud, but you know, I had fun with it. It was a good
one. Yeah.
All right.
I love this one.
Let's give it a listen. I almost went into DJ radio voice there. That was uncalled for. All right, here we go.
Gosh, we love the fade-outs, don't we?
Hey, it makes sense, right? Like, you can't... Yeah. It's all about cues, not compositions.
Right?
Those intro chords are really good. Oh, sorry, Charlotte, go on.
I was going to ask, like, Gage, what is... if you remember, like, what is the name of that, like, kind of... Oh, gosh, I don't have the right words for it, but, like, there's, like, one of the synth instruments in there that I've heard in other things as well, I think. And I've always been kind of curious, like, what is that? What the hell is making that sound?
Do you know what part it's from? I might be able to tell you.
It's in kind of like that main, not this. This part.
Oh, the, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, that's, yeah, just a, that's just a square wave. I think.
Square wave. Okay.
So yeah.
Yeah. Use them. I love that sound.
I do too. The waves are so fun.
Yeah. There's something about this, like, aside from reminding me a little bit actually of the Paradise Killer soundtrack, because it's so synthy and funky. But there is this particular track on, like, an old Driver game. It might be Driver 1 or 2, something like that, but you're, like, in Miami, and it's got a lot of the same sorts of, like, sounds in it, and it's another one of those things that, like, I would love to figure out, like, is there a soundtrack that this particular thing is on that I can go listen to it again and, like, deal with this brain worm that I have about it? But it reminds me of that, which is maybe why I'm so drawn to it.
It would have to be Driver 2, because no one has ever gotten out of the parking garage of Driver
1. Right. Yeah. I got out of that parking garage by playing Driver 2 instead.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
The trick is to eject the disc.
Oh, I'll try
then
that.
You're out.
That was cool. I liked that a lot. Mm-hmm. To me, that felt a lot like I was picturing rage-inducing precision platformer, which is totally the opposite of, like, a Driver track Miami, like, taken in the scenes, which is interesting that, like, one track could be, like, so different.
Yeah,
I think it was a faster beat. Mm-hmm. And so I think maybe that's what I latched onto, and I was like, this is what I would die on spikes 1,000 times to this song, I think, you know.
It's funny that y'all say that, because I was picturing, like, a puzzle game, like a just like a level on, like, a single screen puzzle, like a, I don't know, kind of Bejeweled type thing or something.
That's crazy. That everyone's so different.
I love that you can apply the same music in a bunch of different scenarios.
Yeah, you write some versatile tracks, Gage.
Thank you.
I love that. I love that. All right. Oh, go ahead. Oh, I thought I heard someone getting ready to make a statement. No?
Oh, no, I'm good. I think it was me, but yeah, I'm good.
I heard a loud, breathy intake of air. Something, yeah. I was like, uh-oh, someone's going to say something. All right, our last track that we want to listen to today is brought to us by Nash. Anything you want to say before I give it a play?
Only that, well, I did the leitmotif, which is actually the prompt. It's the day 2 prompt from the dailies. And so this track is just called Leitmotif. It's by another one of our members, Casey Young, who also put Element CY, which might be like a music moniker, I'm not sure. But yeah, no, let's just listen to it and then I'll talk about it. Sounds good. So it's like, it's pretty short, obviously. And like the leitmotif one, you know, that goal is to make, like a leitmotif is like a repeating theme that you would see in various places, in the soundtrack, or, even like, you see it in like opera and musical theater and stuff, or just other music. But it usually is like connected with a certain person or character or place or thing. You're kind of attaching that and building that connection to it. So it's this is probably not like an example of what they would do for like a full track, but it's just that melody. And I like how we get kind of like four variations of it, I think, in that. It kind of repeats, and it is like that same core melody has kind of like different implementations in this track. But I also liked it because the synths remind me of like the soundtrack music from Ranma One Half. Just that like kind of like, oh, I don't know, sort of like really like rich, cheesy synth kind of sound. They used a lot of that in the Ranma One Half one. And I was like, you know, this is kind of perfect because Ranma One Half is like an anime and it has like a million different characters, and they do leitmotifs for their different characters too. So I'm like, this could just be another Ranma character.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's neat. I do like what you mentioned. They do like reuse that melody but change the rhythm, I think. But the notes are mostly the same, which is really interesting. Yeah, like Nash said, usually you hear a leitmotif, especially in games nowadays. Sometimes it'll be across several pieces of music or an entire album that it comes back in different ways, or like reharmonized or something. But it's kind of cool that they just gave us a taste of that in one piece of music in like 30 seconds. Really neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. It's very cute.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
Yeah, I'm glad you explained what a leitmotif is, because this was the one out of all the four we listened to where I was trying to picture a place, and it was actually very difficult for me to picture a place for this particular piece of music. And I'm like, wait, what would play? And then you mentioned like it could be associated with a character rather than a place. I'm like, okay, now I can see how this could be weaved in, like the idea of it could be like sort of presented each time the character's on screen or you're doing
something
with the character and kind of fold into it. That makes sense. Very cool. Very cool. Well, that was fun. That was fun, everyone.
Yeah, I like this.
Yeah, that was very cool. We'll definitely have to do this again. Listener, if you're out there, please tell us if you liked it as well. Let us know. You can contact us at flyoverindies.party or tweet us at flyoverindies and tell us if you like this episode. But before we leave, obviously, we want to allow each of the panelists here to tell us how you can reach out to them if they wish to be reached out to. I'll start with Charlotte. How could people get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can talk at me on Twitter. I am at CTRBLE, and I'll just hang out there.
Nice. What about you? We'll go with Nash.
Yeah, I am also on Twitter. I am Nash, NASH_HIGH, HIGH, on there. And I'm also... I'm also on Mastodon, if you're on Mastodon. And that's a little longer. That's just Nash High, no underscore, at kcmo.social.
Nice. What about you, Gage? Where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Discord and Twitter, drumgadget_433. And if I may plug again, the Flyover Indies or the dailies, check those out again on Bandcamp. And if you're interested, if you're in Kansas City or you're a game developer who likes to write music or wants to try it, definitely, you know, hit us up and you can be part of the next dailies composition too.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dailies is a really cool challenge. I've enjoyed kind of watching that and participating as much as I possibly can, which for me is not much, unfortunately, but I love it.
Yeah, and if you join the Discord, who knows, maybe you could be awkwardly sitting there while everyone listens to your music and then judges you harshly on a podcast. That would be no, this has been great. You can find me, I'm Caleb. You can find me at Caleb J. Ross on Twitter. And the intro and outro music was provided by our very own Nash, which you can find him at the places he already mentioned, and also at nashhigh.com. And play some of our games. There's a link in the show notes to play some of our games on itch.io. And I think that's it. Did I miss anything, peoples? Did I forget to plug something I should have plugged?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Sweet. All right. Well, everyone, happy gaming. Make some games. Play some games. Pat your game developer friends on the back. They need it.
Yeah.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.